Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Welcome to Opening the Doors of Heaven with Ali. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations and a glimpse into the world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here is your host, Ali.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters. I am delighted to be with you, and I am so sorry about last week. I completely forgot that it was Saturday. I think we can blame it on Christmas. But another thing that we can blame it on is I was experiencing profound visions, watching and seeing the planetary systems that are called the 12 hidden planets that lie around the Earth at the time of the show, and it was so expanded. To tell you the truth, I lost complete notions of time or day or anything. So I do apologize, and at least we're together tonight and hope we have a good listening audience out there and that you've had a wonderful time so far with the holidays. And again, my brothers and sisters, we hope that you have just a phenomenal, what on our calendar seems to be, a new year. The infinite has said we live in one fluid, eternal moment. So really, there is no new year, but we can pretend. So have a wonderfully happy new year. We have an interesting subject here that says that we're going to take a look at the prophecies concerning the 10 lost tribes and their triumphant return to Israel, and learn a bit about the hollow earth and its people and the giants of the earth and the delegation of 300 emissaries that have been said to be coming out to the surface of the earth. So let's start from the very beginning and find out who these 10 lost tribes were and how they got lost. We had the tribes in Israel united under King David and under King Solomon. And under King David, a great deal of warfare took place to collect the land and keep the land that was delegated to the 12 tribes that made up Israel. Well, during the King Solomon's time, there was a reign of peace, and that is why he built the temple during that time, which was a major undertaking in Israel. But it was when King Solomon perished that his two sons, Rehoboam, and I don't know if I'm saying this correctly in English because I actually learned it in another language entirely, which is Afrikaans, and Jeroboam. Rehoboam and Jeroboam, I believe, were the two names of the two sons under King Solomon that then had to split the kingdom. And the reason was that his eldest son that was designated to rule had raised the taxes, had added to the burden of Israel, and 10 of the tribes didn't want any part of it. So the kingdom under them split. And Judah and half a tribe of Manasseh was left when I believe that it was the Assyrians invaded the 10 tribes, and half a tribe of Manasseh and the tribe of Judah were the only ones that remained. Not long after, they were actually taken by another group of invaders, which was King Nebuchadnezzar, who came in as the Babylonians and took Judah and the half a tribe of Manasseh. And that is where the story comes from of Daniel in the lion's den and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Again, I'm struggling with the English pronunciation, but they were, you know, those stories of the heroes under the captivity was Judah and half a tribe of Manasseh. Somehow or another, the 10 tribes of Israel got lost in their captivity. We don't have their records. We don't know if they escaped. We don't know if there was an exodus. We don't know anything. Many conjectures have taken place. They made their way to Ireland and so forth and so forth. There are definitely tribes in Africa that claim that they are descendant of the Hebrews. And one such tribe, for example, are the, the Maasai. The Maasai say that they are ancestors of Abraham. The Maasai has completely different features, the lineages, their history. They keep separate from other tribes. They are a very, very unusual tribe. And if you sit down and listen to them, they will tell you stories that sound very, very biblical, as though it had been handed down to them, and even though they didn't know the Bible. So the Maasai say that they came from the Israelites. The other tribes in Africa say that they came from Gondwanaland land. And Gondwanaland land, they say, was a landmass to the east between South America and South Africa. And that Gondwanaland land sank in stages every time there were cataclysms that sank the Atlantis that we know about. And according to the Toltec oral tradition, the Atlantean sinkings took place a million years ago, roughly, and then 800,000 years ago, 200,000 years ago, 75,000 years ago, and then 9,564 years before the crucifixion. And so that is what they're giving us as the sinking dates. Gondwanaland land was a landmass that existed between Africa and South America that also had a change of face each time these cataclysms happened. The Toltec history tells that when the earth tilted, if you have an orange and you have its little navel at the very top, the orange went to your right and the water rushed upwards in the Pacific Ocean. And you know, some of the Aleutian Islands are part of the debris that washed there and got stuck. And possibly there were mountains there at the time or something, I don't know. But it got stuck there and formed these islands. And they say that some of the islands, St. Rupert's or something, that the whole island is made up of old mastodon and mammoth bones at the deeper levels. So this is what the oral traditions of the Toltecs say. They say that debris mixed with a wall of ice came down from the north when the Earth's axis tilted and washed over Atlantis, and that was the 75,000-year-ago Atlantis. It was then known as two major islands of Ruta and Aitaya, and it washed southwards and sank Gondwanaland land. But the African tribes, other than the Maasai and other than the Pygmies, the little pygmy, tiny people that live in the very heart of Africa, they're the only ones that I know of that do not say that their origins came from the land at the east. There are certain royal families, like the Nigerian royal family that our beloved brother Simon in Toronto is an ancestor of. His family is very much involved in governing Nigeria even yet, that say that they came from Egypt and that they were the ancestors of Ra or Marduk, and that they were able to power walk. And the power walk is, you know, was known also among some of the native tribes long, long ago. As far as I know, nobody can now do it among the native tribes, but where you only, you know, you get the law of levitation to be more dominant within you than the law of gravitation, and you're able to take a step sort of every 100 yards. You can take a step. And so they say they walked down from Egypt. This is the legends of the Nigerian royal family in 3 days. Well, whether or not those tribes actually came down into Africa and whether they went into the ground during that time or not, it ends up that the maps of the inner earth have Hebrew names in it, the original maps that were there because major cataclysms happened, but they had names. Let me just see here. I don't actually see them listed here as Hebrew names, but they had a whole little section that was Hebrew. And the ones I've shown here is Esmaklunt, Atua, Zenlant, Zenhaugen, Abu, Esmaklunt, Abka, Bod. And actually, that's a misprint in my book. I beg your pardon, I've never noticed this before. It should be Bud. Bud means bad place in the old Sumerian language. And then Zenut Kunder, Neu Berlin, Neu Hamburg, and Hod, and Heilat, and Soon, and the Lam Zen Sea. Agraharta is one of the land masses, and the North Suder Sea. These are areas that were in the maps, and these maps made it into the hands of the regime under the Führer in the last World War. These are old German maps. Now, how did he get hold of them? Well, apparently, according to what the spirits that I worked with at the time these maps were compiled were telling me, it went like this. You'll notice that there's a lot of German names in these old maps, like Neue Berlin and Neu Berlin and Neu Hamburg, etc. So how did that happen? Well, in the 1600s, a group of German settlers, for some reason, managed to get to South America and made it up the Amazon River. At the headwaters of the Amazon River, there is an entry into the inner earth, one of several. They went into the inner earth, and they settled there. Some of them found their way out again and was able to give these maps to the Germans. These maps got into Hitler's hands. And when the war was going badly, many of the leading German leaders of this Neue Reich went up the Amazon River and also made their way into this. I am told by the spirits, because I asked if the SS people went there as well. And they said, no, the SS people were in a boat that was sunk and it was lost at sea. So the whole SS group that was supposed to make it in there didn't, but some of the Hitler Reich did. And they actually joined the German counterparts in the Inner Earth. Now, the Inner Earth had already had the Hebrews, because in one way or the other, the Hebrews made it in from the 10 lost tribes. Whether they went through the northern opening or whether they went somehow through an African opening, I don't know that, but they did make it in. And I got information. I was in communication. In fact, you know, he was often here at my house. And by the way, my brothers and sisters, we're going to be talking about giants, and you can see us having photographed one in one of my classes who came in and said that he was taking care of a group of those little beings that we were photographing. And we were all seated still at that point around the room when he strolled through the room and we photographed him. But there are a group of giants in there as well. So the Hebrews made it in, Germans made it in the 1600s. Then they came out, gave maps to the other Germans, and a few made it in this last century. The Hebrews are the shortest people there. The others are much taller, and the Hebrews are about 5'4", 5'6", which is about the height that they were when those tribes were lost in the first place. They're 4'6" to 5'1". I beg your pardon. I've got the data here in my book, which is Secrets of the Hidden Realms. The Hebrews, and there were 1,800 Hebrews who found their way there a little after the Babylonian invasion of Judah. They're descendants of those that are the 10 lost tribes. Their height is 4'6" to 5'1". one inch, and they still speak Hebrew. Let's take a quick break and we'll see what happens to them in the future, as well as in the present, when we get back from these commercials.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Now, my brothers and sisters, I've been looking in my book, and this book is very accurate. And a lot of what I'm saying is from memory. So let me correct a few little bits and pieces that I've said, because this book I got from several sources, and they double-checked each other's work. A, the spirits that I was working with, there were six of them. B, I was in direct communication with the two leaders at the time. There was two leaders called Sol and Som, who were the leaders of the inner earth, and I was in direct communication. It happened by accident, actually. I had a being appear, and he had a Hebrew-sounding name, and he appeared and said, that I had to stop doing the work I was doing for Mother. So I said, why? So he said, you're going to cause disasters. You know, so I wanted to understand who he was and where he came from. He told me he came from inside the earth. And the spirits did, too. They said he came from out of a rock. And his name was Eli or something. And so anyway, so I said, look, I said, I'm going to speak, try and get hold of the leaders in the inner earth. Well, it was not easy, but I did manage to have the telepathic communication with them in order to ask them about this Eli who was standing there and refused to leave. Well, as turned out, Eli was non-life enhancing. And as we went up, it actually pulled him into oblivion. He came from a group of people, and there was such a group under Ireland, for example, as well, that lived in the crust of the earth. But they had turned on the Infinite Mother, and so they did not survive the ascension. However, it did put me in contact with Sol and Som, and also I was speaking at the time to Explau Vitpatar, the giant, inside the earth. And he was often here at the house. He came back and forth. And he would usually come out of Mount Shasta and walk up the California and Oregon coast and then come and see me, and then he would leave again. So I know that this information is accurate. So there were 22,000 German descendants that are currently there. 21 entered there through an opening at the headwaters of the Amazon during not the 16th, as I said before, but the 15th century. 14,000 Germans entered at the same place at the end of World War II. No SS soldiers or Nazi leaders were permitted in. They had obtained maps from some of the original Germans who had returned many centuries before, and some still speak German. Their height is the same as ours. Then, when we take another look at who else is in there, before Atlantis and Lemuria sank, and let's not forget that Lemuria sank not all in one go, it sank bit by bit. So, and the geological information of the ocean floor can bear this out. That so some of the Lemurians and Atlanteans did make it in there. Lemurians entered there in very large numbers, 1,600,000 years ago. This was according to Ex Blavit Batal. And the Atlanteans and Lemurians range in height from 6 foot to 12 foot. So by the time they're 12 foot, we call them the smaller race of giants. The Atlanteans and Lemurians comprise the rest, and being vastly in the majority, make Atlantean the most widely spoken language on Earth. And of course, it's of Earth because they're inside the Earth. The Atlantean catastrophes occurred 1,200,000 and 75,000 years ago, as I said. And many escaped before the last sinking of 11,586 years ago as of 2006. That's 64 years before the crucifixion of Christ. 9,564 years before the crucifixion of Christ. And as of 2006, that's a total of 11,586 years ago. Now, the giants range in height from 28 foot to 30 foot. And they can live to be 1 million years old. They come from Lemuria and later also from Atlantis. They are mentioned in the Old Testament in Genesis 6, verse 4. You can also look at Numbers, which is also part of the first five books of the Bible, 3, verses 33. Deuteronomy 2, verses 20. And then you get Joshua 12, verse 4. And by the way, the ones mentioned in Joshua were the 12-foot giants. And they actually lived on the land at the time and the Israelites conquered that land of Canaan. Samuel mentions them as well, 21, verse 22. And so the other races live about the same lifespans that we do, unless they are immortal masters. No currency is used in the inner earth, but inhabitants use barter systems, you know, as in the case of Ex Blavit Batal. He was a gardener, and he would actually barter his produce. So whatever their labor produces is shared freely amongst them. I had an interesting experience. I had a group of sisters with me at one point in a class, and one of them was asking me where her soulmate was. So I had the spirits see if they could find him. At the time, I was working with the spirits, and they said, oh, he's in the inner earth. And I said, well, can we establish a telepathic communication? And we tried and tried and tried, and we couldn't do it. So I asked Ex Blavit Batal, who I could have a telepathic communication with, what the problem was, and he said that the man was fast asleep. So I said, okay, well, is it very far from where you are? He told us how many hours it would take him to get there if he ran. So he went and woke him up. Well, we did hear him. It was a scream, because Ex Blavit Batal is 30 foot tall, and he reached in through the upstairs window of this little house that this guy was sleeping in, reached in through the window and lifted him out of his bed. And we could telepathically hear the scream. And then finally, we started to establish communication, and it was a very strange conversation. But she was very sweet and very flirtatious, and she kept saying, so what do you do, you know, in your daily life? And he was a fisherman, and then he asks, do you like fish? Oh, yes. You know, suddenly she loved fish. So then, you know, he said, I didn't know I had a soulmate. And she said, yes, you know, and then Ex Blavit Batap confirmed that she was his soulmate, and he's just a very, very simple man catching fish. And we asked him if he was aware of what was going on the outer earth. And he said, yes, that they did have the ability to see there if they wished, but that they kept the openings to the inner earth at this point sealed, and it wasn't yet time to open it. And so we had this really wonderful conversation. She asked him what the sun did there, and he explained that this little sun inside that the Hopis call the smoky sun pulsated, and it pulsated brightly during 12 hours, then it went into dimness during the next 12 hours, and that is how he knew when to sleep. So the other thing that was quite fascinating is that we asked him how he got, if it was a barter system, how they got their drinking water. And he said that their oceans was salt water and that they had a very simple system that they used the salt water to purify it because it didn't really rain. It rained 20 years ago, causing huge cataclysms and flood and various other disruptions in their climate, which is why the map is now completely different. But he told us that there was just a moisture that hung in the air, and some four times a year, the moisture was heavier than other times, so that things actually got wet. But he described their land as being very lush throughout, no deserts anywhere. And she asked him what it was like when, what it looked like over the ocean when the sun was growing dim, and he said it was like because he can see on the outside of our land, of our earth, he said it would be like early twilight. So that's as dark as it gets. So they've never actually had pitch darkness, and there are millions of people living in the inner earth, which is a fascinating concept. So anyway, some of the major governments on the surface of the earth are aware of the populations in the inner earth, but they have not as yet found their way in. And according to my friends, the entrances are shielded from observation even by satellite technologies. And if they choose, the people from the inner earth are definitely able to see out, but we cannot see in. So we've given you, in the book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, the Atlantean alphabet. Some of the current names, because the map has changed since 20 years ago, is Herwingenstadt, Pellengrut, Gelspi, Sparendoch, Nor, Brebski, Ur, or Ur. And if you remember, Abraham came from Ur, the city of Ur, which in the old tongue means light, of the Chaldeans, and the Chaldeans get their name from Chaldi, which is the Lemurian missionaries' temples. And Chaldi in the ancient Naga language of Lemuria meant walls. And then there's Hetva, Nenhursva, Peleursk, Vrilsk. Now Vrilsk is the land of the giants. And this is interesting because Vril, V-R-I-L, is what the Atlantean language used to be called. Then there's Skrubahark, Klarenmeer, as in German, Baringnut, Pelininsk, Harsklutva, Trechvarutski, Trechbar, Hurennepski, and Balaur, Kranuch, Elvi, Pruchba, and etc. In Pruchba, and let me see here, Trechbar. Those are two giant language names. So, my brothers and sisters, the Atlantean clock that we give in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms is the most amazing clock. And we also give you the alphabet and the Lemurian system, the numerical system of both the Lemurian language and the Atlantean language. But what I wanted to say is that the clock that they use inside is the most amazing clock. It is accurate within 5 minutes. And we'll speak a little bit more about that, but let's just take a quick break and we'll be right back.
The book, A Life of Miracles, Mystical Keys to Ascension. This book is deeply inspiring and motivational in its content. It is unique in its field of making man's relationship as a microcosm to the macrocosm understandable to both beginning and advanced readers. Its detailed guide to living a joyous and balanced life provides a carefully laid out map to achieving the magnificent destiny that beckons at the apex of human experience. Ascension, Almine's gift as a mystic, are a revelation to all who know her. She is an international phenomenon and certainly deserves to be. That's from His Excellency, Sir Koval Young, Governor General of Belize and Central America. What a priceless experience to be able to catch a glimpse into one of the most remarkable lives of our time. This book is bound to have an indelible impression. That's from the Ambassador Armin Sarkeesian, former Prime Minister of the Republic of Armenia. To receive a copy of this book, premier CDs, online magazine, workshop, or lecture downloads, go to www.almine, spiritual, journeys, journeys.com or call 502-499-0016.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almine. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almine. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Naomi.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters. And we just want to tell you before we start our second half of our show that we have really wonderful products that are coming out in 2009. First of all, for those of you that already have taken a peek at our book that's available online, you can download it tonight and read it if you wish. It's Windows into Eternity. That's my brand new book. And the hard copy of that book, it's got an exquisite cover, very deeply mystical with the mother's language on it that was specially painted by our artist that does all our beautiful work. And it's on its way on trucks. So by, first week in January, for sure, you can get hold of it. It's just being shipped, but we've got bad weather problems all over the place, so there's a bit of a delay. Then we have going to be giving you a lot more of the web tutorials. Currently, there's a four-hour web tutorial that's available through BBS Radio. We will be also providing you with tutorials. And we've got some fascinating topics we've been working actually for the last 2 days on, and we've been taping some profound questions that how life began, the very genesis of life. We have also got fascinating information about the Hollow Earth, about Isis, about Atlantis, and so forth. And that's also part of what the new web tutorials will contain. In addition to that, we are preparing for 2009, just to give you a bit of the overview of some of the exciting things coming, audiobooks. Many people have said how much they would like it if they could just, during their commute in L.A. traffic, I've had somebody in Johannesburg say the same thing to me, I don't have time to read, but I am in my car a lot, if only we could have audiobooks. So I've already taped it, we're just in the process of editing them, A Journey to the Heart of God and the Life of Miracles. And as I did it, The goal was to make the books more understandable for you and also update them. So they're actually a new edition. And in addition to that, they're just really worth listening to, even if you've already once read them, because every time you go back to those books, new layers of information reveal themselves. Then we've got another book that is coming out that I am very excited about, and it is the book that speaks of the new Toltec precepts. There are 108 new Toltec precepts, and for the very first time, the symbols of these just unspeakably holy precepts, which are actually information that were carried in the acupuncture points of the body, that has now come out for the first time, and their holy symbols are given as well. As you access the symbol, as you live its precepts, then all the resources in your body start to flow better because those acupuncture points come online, so to speak. And so that little book will be called The Way of the Toltec Nahual. We have a website of that name, and it would be helpful if you could study that information a bit because it will prepare you for this book, but it is compact with everyday wisdom. It's the kind of little book you can take with you and flip open to a saying and look at the symbol and then just sort of have it as your thought for the day. So that is coming as well. So let's go now to look at the most accurate calendar on Earth, the Atlantean calendar. So to do that, my brothers and sisters, we have to understand the tremendous etheric concept to most people of a day out of time. And since we cannot see the vastness of many of the realms, 9/10 of our existence is unknown because of the way that man's eyes focus. Before the last sinking of Atlantis dropped the consciousness of man, much more of the unseen realms were as real as the seen. And the etheric realms, where materialization begins, and it is the etheric that moves through all things, gives life to matter, and this is what they based their calendar on. Now, a lot of those concepts have changed since then, but the calendar is still valid as a way of measuring. So a day out of time, if you can just imagine that there are a group of soldiers standing in line, and five of them step backwards. Now, we have got 365 soldiers standing in line. Five of those take a step backwards. There's still a lineup, but those soldiers, like those 5 days, are on a different plane. The days out of time is December 21, January 21, March 23, June 21, and September 23. On the Atlantean calendar, those are the days out of time. So if we take a look at the calendar, the fascinating thing of it is, my brothers and sisters, that it uses the rose pattern. That rose pattern was also very heavily used by the Lemurians. In fact, they fashioned their government after the rose. Shambhala, the hidden kingdom that is no more actually, but that hidden kingdom was also laid out in its street map as that pattern of the rose. The rose has the sphere in the middle, the circle in the middle, 3 petals around it, 7 petals around that, and then 12 petals around that. That is what was used during the deep stages of sleep in which the cosmos was, that we know of as the fall, times in which Atlantis and Lemuria and so on did exist. And those are the only 3 rows of petals that were used, plus the spider symbol, which stands for that which holds the web of existence, in the middle. That was the 13th month. It's in the middle where the spider was. Now let's take a look at what the rose is. We've mentioned some of it, but the rose has always been the sound chambers of the cosmos. The rose has also been the sound chambers of the human DNA. The rose has represented a pattern that is found in multiple ways in the human body, but because it's frequency-based, it's not one that we can see. Mystery schools formed themselves in this pattern of the rose, each of them studying a very specific quality, and students would go lifetime after lifetime from one of these mystery schools to the next until they had completed the rose, at which point they were able to move through into an ascended mastery state through the center of the rose. The rose grew. As we went through ascension, we ended up with first another line of 20 petals. That made four rows, if you don't count the center. Then we had another row of 33 petals and 54 petals. And that made a total of six rows. And then we had 72 petals, 96 petals, and 144 petals. We ended up with nine rows of petals. Why did this increase? It increased because we picked up additional rays of light. We also pick up the frequencies associated with it as the entire cosmos went through the huge, massive ascension that started in 2005 in February. Man has been metamorphosed, and this is a very important point to understand. Man has been metamorphosed to prepare us for a birthless, deathless society in which we are fully cognizant that all that exists is available through our own bodies. Our DNA became a lot more complex. Man is the microcosm of the macrocosm. Therefore, so did the macrocosm. But isn't it fascinating that the ancient Lemurians and the ancient Atlanteans were fully aware of this very sacred and holy pattern? So we have got three eight-hour periods that they mapped out as the 24-hour period of their sun pulsing. And it was the Yod and the He and the Va period. The Yod, midnight to 8 a.m., He was 8 a.m. to 4 p.m., and Va is 4 p.m. to midnight. And by the way, my brothers and sisters, just as an interesting thing aside, if you look at Yod, He, Va, or He, Va, and Yod, what you're also looking at is Native American singing. They sing Hey ha, hey ha, or hey ha, hey ya, or they sing hey ho, hey ho, hey. That's the hey yod, hey yod, hey. They sing hey ha and hey ho, and that is the hey yod, hey va. Now, where did they get this information? This very ancient information came all the way from Lemuria. However, there was a Jewish a contingency of people that came to the Americas. And that information is in the Book of Mormon. The Book of Mormon is a record that Joseph Smith translated. The students in my classes currently are able to also, for the most part, translate at that level. That is seership. And Joseph Smith did translate a very valid set of records. The opening the doors of heaven is a set of records that was translated. We are daily receiving from my classes all over the world the translations of information that they are shown or ancient writings that they're given and so forth. Seers have the gift of tongues. The records that were translated came from the hill Palmyra in New York. There's a whole library under that hill. And it's the history of the Jewish people who were warned by their prophecies that Nebuchadnezzar was coming to take away Judah and that half-tribe of Manasseh. And so what they did is they actually fled. They didn't go west. They were told that if they did that, they would have to go against the trade winds. They went east, overland, and then across the ocean into the Americas. And so they did have Hebrew influence into the tribes of the Americas. They became a vast white race that was annihilated in a massive genocide that took place 300 AD. They were called the Nephites, and the indigenous peoples of the land at the time were called the Lamanites, because a part of them actually intermarried with them and became the red race, as you will. So let's take another break, and when we come back, we'll take a look at what is going to happen to the 10 lost tribes that are inside the earth.
Almine continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almine is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almine, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
The doors of heaven with Almine. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almine.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters. We're in our last and final segment. What I did want to tell you is that this very, very large submarine that contained many of the leaders of the SS and some of the Nazi leaders that were trying to get up to the headwaters of Brazil. Now, we understand from the information given to us that they wouldn't have been permitted in anyway, but the whole ship sank. The whole submarine sank. Now, it was not perforated. It simply is like a can that's sealed and that has dropped to the bottom of the ocean. I don't fully understand why, but I do feel that there was some treachery, that it was meant, you know, that somebody had meant for that to happen. That is off the coast of Florida, and it's underwater. Now, where it is today, you know, the current's taking it this way or that way, I don't know, but that is where it sank, because during the break, I could clearly see that they sank to the bottom and that it was by design. So I just wanted to give you that bit of information. My brothers and sisters, let's look at the rose, what's going to happen to the 10 tribes and Israel. It says in prophecies, speaking of Israel, that the land shall blossom as the rose. And it has. The people of Israel have been absolutely brilliant at irrigating and making land that you couldn't have grown anything on, arable land. And the land has, in fact, blossomed as the rose. But why that prophecy? Part of what that rose is are the sacred libraries of the earth. Every single one of those petals represent a library that is opened. I spent most of 2008, starting in 2007, working with the libraries. We have two books that map out 130 of these libraries, which is the petals up to, if you have six rows of petals, with the middle circle being the seventh, if you want to. It's not really one of the rows, but let's call it the seventh for the moment. That makes 130. 130 libraries opened, with the center one being the Chalice Well Library in England. They opened, and two of them came from Israel. The two opened, the rose blossoming in Israel, was on Mount Hebron and on Mount Sinai. When Mother sent me into the Mount Hebron sacred library to open it and be in there, there were messages left for our day by the keepers of those libraries who were no longer there. I believe that we did find libraries. I cannot quite remember now, but these books are due out in 2009, and they will first be coming out electronically, so please watch for them. But the 130 libraries form two books, Secrets of the Ancients and Realms of Innocence. And both of those books deal with the succession of libraries opening, who was the guardians, the secrets that were in them, and you will read in there that in Mount Hebron they had left messages saying how the land should be divided when the 10 lost tribes return. The 10 lost tribes are said to come out of Mount Shasta. There are many different prophecies, including in Isaiah, including in these sacred libraries, that said that they will come in the north and the west. They will return in the north and the west. The northwest of America is Mount Shasta. They will come up to Oregon, and then they will, in fact, visit the holy city here. Then they will be traveling as though on the wings of eagles, which means they'll be using plane fare. They'll be using airplanes. And so they will be flying as though on the wings of eagles. And though they will fly a long way to get back to their homeland, they will not be fatigued. These prophecies are given three places. In the Old Testament, in the sacred libraries of Mount Hebron, plus it was given to some of the Mormon prophets at the turn of the last century. So my brothers and sisters, the Mormon Church has also been waiting for them to come, because their own prophets have spoken about it. The prophets in my classes, the oracles, have gone into deep, expanded states and have spoken the same prophecies. Unbeknownst to them, and they're not familiar with Mormon prophecy, I'm sure, some of them are from Afghanistan and Poland, and not Afghanistan, Uzbekistan and Poland and so on, they're not familiar with Mormon prophecy, but they've spoken the same prophecies. And I found similar prophecies in that Mount Hebron library, except it spoke very succinctly about how the land would be delegated amongst the tribes. And it will be laid out like the rose. So that's how they're going to actually designate the land. And it speaks about the leader that they will have at that time, and his name will be David of Shul. So David of Shul is also part of the Mormon prophecies. They do prophesy about him. So my brothers and sisters, it is really fascinating that this library is part of the rose. The Hebrews are part of the rose. Ancient information has filtered through to this day, and it's come all the way from Lemuria. If we trace the origins of the Hebrew people, which I've never done before, let's see how that goes. Okay. Ishtach Naskavakie. Mishpa kuneshvasta, Ekier ekiash tunas vaba eknes vashba usnava. The ancient origin of the soul group that became the Jewish people had its origins as one of the seven root races of the motherland. Nishtarba skevesh shalmali echekie unasvasta. Shalmali is Lemuria. Lemuria had seven continents, and seven root races there existed. One of the root races, the Ramuhal, R-H-A-M-O-U-H-A-L, Ramuhal, became the Atlanteans. Ishartuhnavas beshbekienas, Ichaktunach vaba. The Toltecs came from the Tlavati, who was a subgroup that was like a caste system. They only intermarried amongst themselves, and they always incarnated in the same group again. That was part of this fifth root race that was the Ramuhal that became the Atlanteans. And it was the great white Toltec emperor that governed Atlantis during the time that it was a whole group of little islands prior to, prior to 200,000 years ago. Neshbach kuskava eshkiava sa inishkuta mechne estava'a. Lemuria represented the way life was formed at the very beginning of existence, when there were seven groups embodying seven different types of light. From these groups, star races came, which is why I keep seeing this particular planet. It's the origin of the group that is on Earth represented by the Jewish people. A very large planet. I'm seeing the numbers next to it, 52 times the circumference of the Earth. It is populated by people with dark hair, and they look about 5'4" to 5'6" to me. And it says that they are, in fact, the ancestors were the root race from Lemuria that also began the Hebrew people. So this is what I'm picking up at this time, where the Hebrew people came from. They were one of the seven root races of the earth. Neshbach kuskavach kaye, ishna husva eche, kianamashkava stevetavi. There shall be a glad reunion, and they shall see one another yet again. And in those days, Jewish people from all over the earth shall return back to their homeland, that oneness can be achieved. My brothers and sisters, we have come, unfortunately, to the very end of our hour. I just want to remind you yet again that we have got some wonderful websites up for you. We even actually have my personal website that just went up, just because I wanted to have a place where I could put some personal items, like I love cooking, for those of you that follow my daily escapades on Twitter. And I've collected over the years some wonderful recipes for you. So we've got the almine.me website on. That's up and running now. And it's just my private life versus my spiritual life, though, of course, to me, all things are spiritual. My brothers and sisters, hope you have a wonderful New Year's Eve, and I'll speak to you again next Saturday. Much love.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Opening the Doors of Heaven with Almine. You can listen every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on Sedona Talk Radio. That's every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll see you next week.